Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are continuing our introductory material of the Gospel of Mark. Last time we talked about the author himself and kind of who he is and some background information about him. Today we're going to look more into the book of Mark, the writing in the Gospel itself, and see some identifying factors as we introduce this Gospel. First thing we want to note is who it's written to. We obviously have multiple Gospels that are written for multiple reasons and to multiple audiences, but the Gospel of Mark is primarily written to Gentiles, which was a non-Jewish culture. They didn't have all the same Jewish customs and traditions that the Jews had, and so he explains a lot of things. That's one of the identifying marks, is that you'll see him explain a lot of Jewish things that obviously you don't have to explain if you're writing to Jews.
Yeah, and he's got lots of transliterated Latin terms like centurion and denarius and some of those kinds of things. He is probably writing this, conservative scholars agree, after Peter's death, which would have been about 67 or 68 A.D., and before the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, probably the first gospel account written was the Gospel of Mark. We don't know that for sure, but that's what most people believe. It's interesting, too, because I saw a meme one time online that I don't know if it was a meme or a GIF or whatever it was, but it was it was making fun of the fact of it had all four of the gospel writers, you know, how they were sitting down and starting their gospels. And so you had Matthew saying, I think I'll start with the lineage of Jesus. And then you had Luke saying, I think I'll go back and start with the birth of Jesus. And then you've got John saying, I think I'll go back and start at creation. And then you got Mark going, let's just get on with it. You know, yeah. And he just kind of jumps right in.
Right.
But there's a purpose for that. You know, he's not worried so much about building the historical narrative from the Hebrew Scriptures perspective, because it is the Gentiles that he's writing to.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered as much. One example of this that he gives is in Mark chapter 7 and verse 3. He's talking about just something that the Pharisees noticed about Jesus' disciples. And then verse 3 in parentheses, he says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders." Well, he's telling them about traditions that the Jews had that the Gentiles obviously wouldn't have had or really known about.
Yeah, and one of the things that he's trying to help them to see, especially with the miracles that he's going to use, is, and the Roman world was very concerned with power, is trying to point out the fact of who Jesus was based on that. So you've got all of these miracles, particularly in the first two chapters, and the responses of people from them. Like in chapter 1 and verse 27, they were amazed, and they wanted to know, you know, what is this? A new teaching with authority. You've got chapter 2 and verse 7. What does this man, why does this man speak like this? You know, he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin? Chapter 2 and verse 12, they were all amazed and they were glorifying God. We never saw anything like this. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4 and verse 41, they were filled with great fear and said, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So you've got this wanting to, you know, figure out who Jesus is. And it seems like in chapter 4 and verse 41, that question, who is this man, is really kind of the primary question that the gospel seeks to when we talk about the structure here in the next few minutes, to answer that question, and then what should our response be once we've established who that he is?
Yeah, there's a lot of miracles that he points out in the Gospel of Mark, but all except for, I think it's three, is in the first eight chapters of the Gospel.
Well, it's actually all but six are before Peter's confession.
Yeah,
there's only six after Peter's confession.
They're all. It's very front heavy on mm-hmm. miracles, and that's the point is Peter's confession. If we go over to Mark chapter 8, that's really where the book kind of divides itself. Is Peter's confession. Jesus asks in Mark chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus starts talking to them about what that means and you know, what that looks like if they're going to follow him the way that they should. But confession of Jesus being the Christ is, you know, what all these miracles are pointing to is trying to get that reaction out of people. And so whenever he makes that, now there's not as much need for miracles. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot more teaching sections and a lot less miracles, whereas in the front you have a lot more miracles and a lot less teaching. So.
Yeah, 20 of the 26 miracles in Mark are before that confession. And it's interesting. It does... Peter gives the right answer, but he doesn't really know what he's saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean what Peter thinks he's meaning
by that.
You keep
using this word.
Yeah, but there is a group in the Gospel of Mark that knows the answer to the question of who Jesus is. It's not the Jews, the religious leaders. They don't know. Mm. It's not the disciples, the followers of Jesus. They don't really know. The group that really knows who Jesus is the demons. Yeah. And they answer that question repeatedly and mean what they're saying when they say it. And but that's kind of how the structure is put together in the book, is those first 8-plus chapters answering the question for the reader, who is Jesus? And then after that, understanding of what that means in our lives and how that we've got to deny self, take up our cross, and follow him because he is Lord.
Yeah, I never thought about, I guess you said it that way, maybe the irony behind religious leaders confronting Jesus and trying to ruin his reputation and
who claim they know.
Being very aggressive towards Jesus, like and just beating him down. And then meanwhile, he encounters demons, and the first reaction demons have is, "Whoa, whoa, let's just talk about this." Let's, you know,
like they know. Let's not be hasty.
They know. They know what they're getting into. So it's a definite contrast for sure.
Yep. And there's two more concepts. We'll wait till tomorrow to talk about them. But there's two more concepts that fits in this structure, and that is the suffering statements in Mark and the messianic secret in Mark, and we'll discuss those tomorrow as we continue our introduction to Mark.
Yeah, we will get into those later. We're excited for this study, excited to talk about those and then get into the actual text. But we will begin that tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight. We're grateful for you taking 5 to 10 minutes every day and joining in with us. And we will continue that study tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.